Hello, I'm Del Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Del and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real gay.
Well, hello, Emerson Collins.
Oh, hello. I haven't seen you in so long. Tell me what's happening. What's new in your life?
Well, a big old helicopter's flying over my head.
They're right coming now. For you.
Listen to that. That is so crazy.
I don't hear anything.
You don't?
No, you might be inventing it. Maybe you're just inventing things happening.
It may be the rapture. That's how crazy I'm going.
Well, it just went right past your house, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's very loud, very loud. How? Well, here we are. I have a new backdrop. Look at my new backdrop.
I love it. It's a piece of artwork.
I know. It's a piece of art that Danielle Paris gave me on my birthday in 2016. And she's an amazing artist. And I just wanted to put it up there. And I had to email her real quick. And I said, or text her, what does this mean? Remind me what it means. And she met us at a Southern Baptist Sissies function. And it means, the name of it is Sissies United. And it's in Morse code. Top to bottom, 97216, that's when we met. And upper rainbow dots is sissies, and lower rainbow dots is for life. And you can find her art on Facebook at Paris Creative Works. How's that for a plug?
I love that so much. And it's such a smart art approach to take like Morse code, and it's like visually pleasing. And also there's like so much meaning in the numbers and the structure of it all. She's a thinker, Danielle.
Yeah, she's a thinker. And then of course I wrapped it around you had that happen, right? Yeah, that's the Whoopi Goldberg.
Stole from a very sordid wedding.
A very sordid wedding that Whoopi signed for me. So there we go. That's my backdrop.
Yay. Well, hello everyone and welcome. Whether you are watching us on YouTube or Facebook or Periscope on Twitter. Please share the broadcast with your friends. Invite people to join us. If you have comments, we can see them. If you have questions, if you have thoughts on the topics as we discuss them, please share them. We'll get to our weekend watch party assignment discussion a little later on.
So much happened, and we are so excited. Are you as excited as I am? Could you be? Is it possible for you to be as excited as me, Emerson?
In any way ever, no.
It's true. Because here's the deal. Okay, y'all think that I love Tammy Wynette. There is one singer and songwriter that I love a little bit more. And her name is Brandi Clark. And she is on our show today with her amazing manager that we have grown to love, Gail Gelman. And so we are just going to have a visit, a good old Southern visit with our friends.
And y'all, Brandy's going to do a little number, so stick around all the way to the end. It's so exciting.
I know. I have to tell you this. So this morning I'm texting Brandy, and I said, you're going to sing, right? You're going to sing. And she said, yes. And I said, what? And she goes, what do you want to hear? Left it up to me, Emerson.
It was got to pick. The
power. So I'll tell you what I chose a little bit later.
Leslie said she met you at Troubadour at Brandy's show there. I was there too.
That is amazing. Yes, we were there we were all there. We had a big old outgoing, big old party thing to see Brandy at the Troubadour. So
yes.
We miss live. We miss live. We're going to talk to Brandy about live and all the shows and all that kind of stuff. So anything else before we get to the news?
Yes, there's like three things. You had a story you wanted to tell that I was supposed to remind you about, an Instagram comment.
Oh, it was an Instagram. It was actually on Facebook.
Instagram.
Well, I posted on Instagram, and I have that thing where it just automatically goes to your Facebook. And it was a picture of Leslie Jordan and myself, because Leslie was so generous with his 4.3 million followers to throw me a little bone and tag me. And so a lot of people were coming to my page and having never heard about Sordid Lives. It was really sweet. It really was. And he talked about being in London where a cab driver yelled out the window, do you see my pussy now? And so I posted a picture of Leslie and me on the set, him as brother boy. And some person on my Facebook page said, looks like it's time for someone to get a facelift. And he wasn't talking about Leslie Jordan. He was talking about me. So here's your face. Lift, motherfucker.
You know, you could just get like a chip clip and hold it onto your neck.
But I think it's going to be have to be more than a chip clip. But that does make a difference. Look at that, y'all.
What do you like when they take office clips and put it on dresses, like on a mannequin? You know, just as long as you don't turn sideways, no one can tell.
You know what I did? I commented back. I said, "Would you please send me a picture of yourself so I could be rude right back to you?" And he deleted the comment.
Bye.
Yeah. You know not to mess with me. I'll throw it right back at you.
It's not in anybody's best interest. And Sunday was Mother's Day.
It was.
Called my mama. I sent her a little pop-up card with flowers in it that I got at CVS when I had to go to CVS to get Claritin. So I wasn't making a special trip just to buy a card. Because I was like, well, these flowers won't die and nobody has to bring it to your house.
I loved the picture of you, your family all together holding a picture of you. And what, tell them what Blake said. I just think
First of all, so I called my family on FaceTime. They were all together and they were going to take a nice family photo. And my dad said, we're going to put you on FaceTime on the iPad so we can hold you in the photo. And if I'd thought about it, I could have loaded it for the show, but I didn't. And so I smiled on the iPad, and so they sent me the family photo, and y'all, it looks like I'm dead.
Did you find it?
Work at all. Let's see.
No, you can kind of see it.
Not really.
That's in the frame.
So that's I'm in that photo, but y'all, it looks, I showed it to Blake, and he said, it looks like you died.
It does.
Like it's like at my memorial service.
They're holding the dead brother in the frame. That's what it looks. It kind of does look like that. I howled when I saw that.
Everybody tell a sweet story. And then, of course, because it was Mother's Day, we finished the night watching Mommy Dearest.
Which I just love you for that because it is so twisted and fucked up. I just thought, well, that's why I love Emerson. But I was depressed on Mother's Day. You know, it always depresses me a little bit because I lost my mom in many, many years ago, over 15 years ago now. And, you know, you're just reminded of that. She was interesting and gave me so much. I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I do today. I wouldn't be a storyteller if it weren't for Lorraine Shore. So in honoring them, you always feel a little bit of that pain, you know?
Of course. And of course, any holidays devoted to any specific kind of person means that people that don't have that person or don't have that good relationship with that person, I'm sure it was a weird day for far more people this year than even on other years because people couldn't get to their mothers in addition to people who like don't have them or who have passed or don't have good relationships. It's just weird. Another continuing representation of like the weirdness this is causing in all of life.
I always write something. I want to hear about your mother. I will tell you about my mother. And there's always a couple of posts that are just heartbreaking because you forget. You go, oh, everybody's going to talk and say amazing things about their mother. But that's not true either. I mean, somebody wrote about pills and alcohol and it was just, it was sad. So anyway, I'm just bringing down the room now. I'm so sorry.
No, Dale, we can talk about emotional things of substance. We like to give range and change colors like your work.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Emerson. Well, I forgot to bring, I'll have to go grab those Kleenexes if we keep going.
Just so, a little tear. Well,
shall we? Shall we?
Yep, let's get on to the stories and we'll come back to discussion later if we have time.
Okay. Well, Little Richard died. That's the first story. More to bring you down. But he was self-described king and queen of rock and roll. He died Saturday of bone cancer in Tullahoma, Tennessee. He was 87. Ferocious piano playing. I mean, he influenced so many people like Jerry Lee Lewis. There were many artists gave him props, which they should, for influencing them. Had crazy outlandish costumes, pancake makeup, and gospel influenced vocals. But he was also, you know, he tore down a lot of barriers in the 50s, and any artist openly gay, grew up in the South and black, but here it was really in reading some of the obituaries, it made me sad because he really struggled with being gay. He went back and forth being proud of it and then not being proud of it. And it all went back to the church. It all went back to religion. And even as recently as like 2017, he did an interview and said that homosexuality is wrong. But what's crazy, and I did not know this, Emerson.
I didn't either.
This is the original lyrics to Tutti Frutti were about anal sex. It was, yes, Tutti Frutti was about butt fucking. If it don't fit, don't force it. You can grease it, make it easy. They were not included on the record, those lyrics.
I had never heard that, and I checked like two other stories to make sure it was true. I mean, it's good, you know, we should have pop songs giving smooth anal sex directions. That should be on Top 40. If it don't fit, grease it. That's a good,
I know.
Like Gun Oil or somebody should use Tutti Frutti as their like commercial song and use those original lyrics.
It would have been a better experience for those Brokeback Mountain guys if they had heard Tutti Frutti.
I mean, that, you know, don't do the spit and shove. No. Make it work. Don't make it work.
I have to fast forward that scene.
I mean, some people like it that way.
I am not one of those people. So.
All right. Well, in our next story, you know, Amy Stevens is a very important plaintiff in a Supreme Court case with a decision that is coming in this current session. In 2013, she came out as trans and was fired 2 weeks later from her job as a funeral director in Detroit. Now, the result of her case before the Supreme Court right now could affect so many people who face discrimination at work based on gender identity or presentation. Well, unfortunately, Amy is unwell, and she can't travel for dialysis treatment and is receiving hospice care. She's being helped at home by her daughter and her wife, Donna Stevens, but her family's struggling with paying for her medical costs as well as trying to prepare for what is likely end-of-life care soon. So friends of Donna set up a GoFundMe for the family for that care and funeral service when the times come. Now, they've met their $5,000 goal, but if you search that on GoFundMe, Amy Stevens, if you want to contribute, you still can. I think so often about, you know, these people, Edith Windsor, these people that become Obadiah Obergefell, you know, that become the person in the court case that's working to make the change for all of us, and how emotionally draining, spiritually draining, physically draining that process must be to be the person who stand up and said, I will be the case. Mm-hmm. But because how much that weighs on you, having to go through all of the rounds of that from a local court to a federal court to the Supreme Court, and how truly icons they are and should be treated as for the community for being the person who steps up.
And then if you're criminally ill while it's going on, I hope that if it's a good decision that she makes it to see it. So, and you know what I like about this story, and I like about this next story too, is there's sometimes wrongs that are happening in the world, and
human. Oh my gosh, wait, what? Sorry. Somebody just said, and I just checked to make sure it's true, Jack Heffington said, and I just verified that Amy Stevens passed. It was just announced 3 hours ago. I prepared this story for the show yesterday, so we want to send lots of love to Donna and her daughter and their family as the case continues to proceed without her.
All right. Well, we have just this. We got to get Brandy on here on this show to bring us up. It's like there's a lot of sadness here, but this is a story that will kind of piss you off and then it'll make you happy as well. This is a healthcare worker's partner will not receive benefits. This is a Scottish story. Mick Gallagher was a Scottish healthcare worker who worked the night shift in a nursing home. He was on the mend and then he collapsed and died of COVID-19 before the ambulance could arrive. Scotland is the only part of the UK where nursing home staff and at-home caretakers are not eligible for the special benefit to doctors and nurses for dying in service to their work. So his partner, John, said he was taking, I'm not going to do the accent. He was the one taking care of your mom and your dad when they were not able to care for themselves. He was the one making sure that they were dignified at the end. He was always happy, always laughing, always making a joke. He was selfless, whether it was his residents, me, his mother, that was Mick. He just liked to take care of people. And he's asking, he says, we're not asking for the world. We would be happy if they just paid for the funeral cost, a recognition that he died in service and to care for other people. Soon after learning about the family's plight, friends and viewers flooded a GoFundMe for Gallagher's funeral expenses, covering everything. So there you go. It's like when wrongs are done, sometimes humans with hearts step in. And
the thing I always found frustrating about these stories is, you know, it always sounds good, right? All of these people gave all this money to this GoFundMe for Amy's family, for this family, for people that need healthcare. But the thing is, our governments should be structured in a way that we are not relying on the kindness of strangers through a GoFundMe. GoFundMe has basically just become a medical care website where it's like, this person has cancer. Please donate to the treatment they can't afford. This person has leukemia. This, you know, it's a good story that's a reminder that our systems still aren't set up to handle the things for people who are citizens of their countries that they should be designed to set up. You know, like, we should be able to use GoFundMe to throw, like, a girl a quinceañera, not, or, you know, somebody a coming out party, not for, like, I can't pay the bills that will keep me alive.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah.
Thank you.
I know this is a little darker show at the start, but I always feel like the range and kinds of stories are really important. So this is the last of the heavier hitting stories, and then we'll lighten up to some nonsense. I always say it's LGBTQ news and nonsense. We will get to the nonsense. But one more. In Seoul, in Korea, that's been held up recently as a good example of how well they've managed some aspects of the pandemic. There was a recent outbreak. A local man went to several gay bars in a party district in Seoul with no symptoms before being diagnosed with COVID-19. The government believes he exposed 1,500 people to the virus as he was out and about, and 14 have been diagnosed. It was the first infection in 4 days, and it's caused the new fears of community spreading with an added tinge of anti-LGBTQ sentiments. The officials and media reports have continued to emphasize that the infections happened in gay bars, which advocacy groups believe is a way to blame the outbreak on the LGBTQ community. But the government uses tracing through CCTV footage, credit card statements, phone location to figure out where people were. Homosexuality is legal in South Korea, but people still face discrimination and lack of workplace protections. So the stigma surrounding homosexuality might also scare away those who fear being outed from seeking testing and treatment, if that makes sense. You know, the people who might have been at these bars where he was don't want to get treatment since the news has said it all happened at gay bars. So it's a sort of complicated issue with this outbreak there and them hitting really hard that it was gay bars.
All right. Well, I love this story, Emerson. Thanks for giving it to me because I've been spending not a lot of money, but I you know, because we have to order, and I've been using Amazon for dog food, for a lot of stuff, and made me feel a little better about Amazon today because they are paying a gay bar and restaurant $200,000. It's called Freddy's Beach Bar and Restaurant to deliver 10,000 free meals to police and first responders in Arlington and Alexandria, Virginia. How cool is this? I love this story. During the last 2 weeks in May, the restaurant will donate its meals to Cooperative for a Hunger-Free Arlington, a local group that will deliver the food to neighbors in immediate need. The partnership with Freddy's has helped the eatery bring back most of the employees it furloughed after Virginia's governor shut down all statewide dine-in restaurants to stop the spread of COVID-19. So there you go. There's a fun, uplifting story.
Yes. I was trying to do something. And then one more. And this, you know, it's frustrating to have these stories that show a lack of humanity. But in Indonesia, there's a YouTuber, Ferdian Paleka, and two of his friends who pranked two homeless trans women by handing them what seemed to be boxes of instant noodles that were actually rotten food and rocks. The video began with them driving, using transphobic slurs, saying, "They don't obey the government, so don't speak badly of us. We only want to help the government." The two women have spoken out. The video was posted online. There was an appropriately outraged response. Sani is a 39-year-old, and she said that she didn't expect someone to be so thoughtless during Ramadan or during the epidemic. And Danny, a 56-year-old, said he approached his car when he rolled up because she saw him distributing food to other people. after praying for his good fortune, he took a noodle box and it was filled with concrete. He and his pals gave a box filled with garbage to hungry homeless kids and stood by laughing each time they saw disappointment in their victim's face. The video was taken down and the man and his friends now reportedly face 12 years in prison for the prank. And I'm so glad. I'm not exactly sure like what the charge is, like how do you charge someone with being an evil human being? But like the level of inhumanity, I think something like that would be funny.
Or at all. I mean, it's just like, you know, going back to, we said, thank goodness there are people who have hearts with humanity to take care of things that are not just, but boy, just to think that there are people out there like that.
Literal garbage people.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about
To a much lighter. I hope you all did the homework assignment. If you watched our watch party movie this weekend, A Secret Love, please share your comments. Tell us your thoughts as we chat about it here for a little. You know, variety. I was very proud of finding, you know, shifting our content. Last week we did a little love triangle with a young couple. And now we're doing lesbian documentary. What'd you think, Del?
Oh, my God. They had me from the first 4 minutes of it. I knew it was going to break my heart, touch my heart. I fell in love with those women so fast, Terry and Pat. And how long were they together? 69 years?
65 and a half. And I found it hysterical. You know, usually it's like children under 8 that say like, I'm 3.5 years old. I'm 4¾ years old. That these women who have been together for more than 6 decades, that they said over and over, 65 and a half years. We want that extra half year. For those of you who didn't see it, as the story of these two women, one of whom played in the American Women's Baseball League that they started, you know, after World War II, that inspired a league of their own, that they met at the end of the 50s at a hockey rink, which of course they did.
It was, they had dated men and boys. One of them, every man that she dated would drop dead.
I was like, Pat, you kept dating these men and then they died. Was she like a Black Widow lesbian?
Then she said something that was so funny to me because she goes, I guess that was a sign. Like these guys lost their lives. It was a sign for you to be a lesbian.
Stop trying to date men. Like just God's just up there striking him down with lightning. Say, look, ma'am, you're a lesbian. Stop doing this.
But what was so beautiful about it is how that for so many years, I mean, you can imagine back then during that day, how they wore makeup and things that were not exactly what they wanted to do, but they had to do because of society. They claimed to be cousins that lived together for many, many years. And then what?
When they said, because they got married at the very end of the documentary, there was a long discussion of where they were going to move. They needed to move somewhere because they're older and Terry has Parkinson's to be taken care of and were concerned about it being expensive. And then it turns out she had $1 million in the bank and the niece was like, spend that shit. It's 84 grand a year. You're not going to last longer than your money, was what she was basically implying. And then they got married and in the ceremony said, and now you can finally stop saying your cousins, which gave it this weird incesty Southern inbred feeling that just made me feel right at home.
They were Canadian also. That was, or at least one of them was, but I loved it. And I loved the honesty of it with, you know, the niece that didn't care for nieces. Annie says didn't care for niece's attitude, saying she wanted to keep her away from the family. I think that was that's what I was about to say, that I actually like the honesty of all of that. And then what in that, there was that amazing confrontation that they allowed to be filmed. And she basically told her how much she loved her.
I thought it exposed something though, that when you've spent your whole life having to keep something a secret, you're not inclined to share information of any kind, even with people who care for you. You know, that the niece discovered finally how much money they had and was like, we could be doing so much better for you. It did seem to me to show that Pat wanting to care for Terry and having to keep their relationship secret as they lived together for decades, that it can turn around and become a problem that you don't want to let people in, even people that care for you, because right. you're so used to protecting the information.
And if you really break it down, and you know what I always say, scratch deeper. When you look at what that niece was doing, she was expressing an enormous amount of love to get her the help she needed, because she was going to inherit all that money if they didn't spend it. So most likely. So it was a selfless act. It really was.
If your kids start taking you somewhere and they're like, no, it's fine. You share a room with like 18 people. They're trying to protect their inheritance.
But you will fall in love with them, and you will see how important the journey has been for so many people that paved the way for us.
Yes. Erica said the minister that married them married a friend of hers. She had a connection to it.
Oh, look at that, Erica.
So if you missed out on the movie, it's A Secret Love. It's airing on Netflix. Check it out. We've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Another one brought to us by Ryan Murphy. He brought us the documentary on Circus of Books. So he's really stepping into documentary making with gay themes. It's kind of wonderful.
And a quick break for our commercial. Obviously, we do this to keep you up to date on our community and news that's happening in the world. And so we're thrilled to share this time with you. If you're somebody that's sitting at home and is financially blessed and you want to give us a tip as we make this show an entertainment, you can send us a dollar or five or 10 or thousands. If you're Scrooge McDuck over there, you can tip at the banner below on Venmo to me at Emerson Collins, or via PayPal to beardcollinshoresproductions.com. No obligation, no expectation. I will split whatever I get with Dell, you know, minus a minor commission fee.
Is that what that is?
Uh-huh. And then one more quick silly story for the nonsense. So candy shoppers are reporting that there's a suggestive quote printed on the bottom of a family-sized package of Maltesers, a British variety chocolate cover malt ball. Mars makes Three Musketeers, M&M's, Twix, and I'm going to see if I can show this real quick, because I'm getting fancy. This is what it says on the candy. Did it show up? Everyone likes a nice bottom. Now, y'all, they knew, right?
Everyone likes a nice bottom.
What homosexual at Mars was like, this will be hilarious? And got it all the way into production.
Well, I just love that you were able to technically do this. Do you know how to get us back now, or is it?
Yes.
That's amazing, Emerson. I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about any of that. Thank you.
I know. I figured out how to be so fancy.
So, well, shall we talk a little bit about Miss Brandi Clark and Gail Gilman before we bring them in? And
They're sitting watching, so they know that you're saying what you're gonna. They know.
Okay. Well,
so tell the story, because I love it so much.
Okay, this is a crazy, crazy story for me. Magee Monteith, a very good friend of mine, I was in Dallas working, sent me a text and said, download 12 stories by Brandi Clark right now and listen to all of it before you text me back. So all my chihuahuas are going off. Girls, I'm talking about Brandi Clark. So
that's why they barked. They got excited. They know her music well.
That's the clapping, Brandi, that we don't have anymore. The chihuahua barking for you. So anyway, I the first thing I did is download. And the first song that I heard was Hold Your Hand, which she is going to sing today. That's the one I chose because of that connection. And it is a brilliant, brilliant song. It was just one great story after another, and her voice, and I became a fangirl. I mean, just crazy. Emerson was like, shut up. But I shared it with Emerson. He got on board. I just kept sharing her with all my friends. And then I started being obsessed, going to Wikipedia, and I realized that an old friend of mine, Shane McNally, had written a lot of songs with her. So I tweeted them both and said, this Southern writer is inspired by your stories in song. And Shane tweeted me back, and then Brandi tweeted me, and I was like, what? And she said, basically she said, your work has inspired me too. And her mother, Sally, introduced my movie, Daddy Stein, Who's Got the Will, to her many, many years ago. We want to get them on, but that tweet caused me to just go nuts and more obsession. And I, one day when we were editing a very sordid way, not editing, shooting in Dallas, I came up with this crazy idea to take characters from Brandy and Shane's songs and populate the town with them, create a series. I contacted her people and Shane's people, and they said yes. And we got into it with a series that has not sold yet, called Big Day in Small Town, which we still have hope for. Emerson is involved, and then Gail came on board with Brandy and was our champion, and we grew to love both of them. And so I've seen her in on stage many, many times, and we are just so honored to have them both here today, both out and proud on the Dell and Emerson Show. So y'all please make
All right. So with that great introduction, please welcome to the show 6-time Grammy nominee, CMA Song of the Year winner, Brandy Clark, and legendary music manager, Gail Gelman.
Woo! Oh my God. Y'all are in the same shot, in the same room. I love it.
Yes, we are.
You
guys' show, I just have to say, we've been sitting here watching it. Hilarious.
So funny.
Yes.
We just have no rules. We just talk. So
while you were talking, we got popcorn and, we watched.
Party favors.
Yeah.
So y'all are hunkered down where? Here in Los Angeles?
Yes. So get this. So Gail and I and everybody that, was in my band, we were in New York City on, when was it? March 10th, 11th? March 10th. Yeah, and New York City was feeling weird. You'd look down at Times Square. I looked down there one time, there were 21 people. But the rest of the world was just kind of running around. And I was coming here to work on musical, actually, which I can talk about. And we land, and the musical has been changed to a Skype call, or not a Skype call, a Zoom call. And Gail gets a text saying we've all been exposed to coronavirus, which thank God,
twice,
none of us got it. But yes, so then Gail and I self-quarantined together. Gail made me go to, Gail's not only gay, but she's also Jewish. And we had to go.
I just came out twice.
Four supermarkets. She wants to fire me as a client at this point.
Oh my God. So you have been on this crazy. And now we just got the news. The latest that we are now until July, the end of July?
Yes.
Yeah. It was not four markets, but it was every Gelson's on the way from, LAX to where we are.
And at that point, we were the only people wearing masks and gloves, and people were looking at us like we were crazy.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, we are glad you're here today. We're sorry that you've been stuck together for so long, or maybe it's a good
We're doing fine. Yeah. We've been playing croquet, beating.
Yes, yeah. I have my two little dogs. So yeah. Gail's having to deal with little dogs. She's never had little dogs.
Oh, Emerson's going to say something. Yes.
Pause. Croquet?
I ordered us a croquet set. Yeah.
Of course you did.
When this is all over.
Quarantine croquet
over and play. Please, yeah. Can I come play with y'all? I used to play croquet as a kid all the time.
Yes, you should. You both should. Yeah.
So much fun. We fight over which color the mallets we're going to have each day.
And there's a pool, and I've seen Emerson in Speedo, so he is more than welcome there.
Anytime. My only contribution in these difficult times.
Well, speaking of difficult times, I need to ask you, Gail. I mean, Gail, you had a huge difficult time. This is you lost your house in the Malibu fire as well. So this is just not. This has been a tough one for you.
when you talk about Terry and what's her name in that movie and the widow, the lesbian curse. I mean, you know, I've got the fire now, the, you know, the pandemic. I think I lost my dog, you know?
And your mom?
Well, I didn't want to say that. Yeah. I didn't want to put money into that. So. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We're finishing each other's sentences now. Yeah. We've been together so much. Yeah, it's been a lot. But, you know, I'm a positive person, so I just look at the bright side of all of it. And, you know, Brandy put a record out March 6th. That's shamelessly going to show it.
Yeah, Paul, please tell us. I'm obsessed with it as well.
Buy it, download it as many times as possible during this pandemic.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of things we've had to shift and change. It's been interesting to, and Brandy's done everything I've asked so far, including the croquet. So we're doing all right. You know, but so many live streams, so many things, whether it's Twitch or iHeart or Apple, whatever's asked of you, you know, you've done Music Cares, mm-hmm. Grammys, all of it. It's been fantastic.
Well, obviously you did our show, so whatever is asked of you.
You know, though, I got to say, this is one of the more professional ones I've been on. Like the header, the Dale and Emerson show, the way you pulled the Malteser up. I mean,
Brandy, I have nothing to do with it. I just come, I arrive, I dress my set. That's all I do.
I love your watch.
I love the watch. Yeah.
Yes, it's all about the gay. It's all about the gay. So,
I feel like everything, we could probably say anything we want on here. So I just have to say something. This might go over well or it might not, but when you pulled that thing up that said everybody loves a nice bottom, and you said, you know, all the gays will get this. Robert Horn, who lives in West Hollywood, one of the funniest people I've ever met, said one of the funniest things I've ever heard the other day. He was talking about a friend of ours that has kind of fallen on some hard times health-wise. He's okay now. But I said, man, it shocks me that he would get sick. And Robert's like, oh, honey. You bottom long enough, you'll bottom out.
That's a t-shirt.
I'm cackling.
Yes. Yes. And Shane, of course, Shane McAnally was on this call and he said, I'm going to steal that and say it's my own, but I just took it. I did give Robert credit, but yeah, I thought it was pretty damn funny.
You think there's a country song there?
I do. You know, like Lavender Country. There was a Lavender Country movement. It was gay country. I think that might be. Or, you know, there's that guy. Gosh, I can't think of his name. The girl who plays bass for me, Vanessa, used to play in his band. He's super funny. He's actually a comedian. He had just nasty songs. So if you had the homosexual version of him, that would probably be the album. Bottom long enough, you'll bottom out.
Well, speaking of country songs, you've written so many songs, Brandy, and I think our audience, I mean, I've told everybody I know about your work as an artist, but you've had so many hits by other people. I mean, you wrote Mama's Broken Heart, you wrote Better Dig 2 was yours, Follow Your Arrow, which was basically a little bit of a gay anthem that won the Country Music Award.
I know. You know, if I never did anything else, I think that did a lot for a lot of people, and didn't know when we were writing that wasn't the intent. You know, it just, that's where the song went. And Casey was, you know, she's kind of a gay icon, you know, she's kind of like Cher. And so she really wanted to put that song out there and really wave the flag with it. And she did. I mean, so many people come up to me at shows and they'll cry and say, you don't know what that song meant to me. I mean, a very popular DJ in country music. I didn't even know he was gay, but it was an out thing. I just, my head's under a rock most of the time. Told me that it felt like it legitimized his family. So it did a lot, and it wasn't the intent. So
I have a question. You know, it's being out and just doing the work, and you and Shane, and like the way you blew up as songwriters, and then people getting exposed to you as a performer. And thinking about like you all and these artists in the songwriting community, I want to ask this in a like with Miranda and Casey and people that are more vocal, you know, mm-hmm. I hope that feels great to feel your peers also speaking so that you're not always the one having to talk about issues.
I mean, I think Casey's so great about that. You know, it's Dolly Parton. And I do think, you know, country music in general gets a bad rap sometimes. And I've never experienced that. And I don't think Shane has either. And when he and I met, it was such a wonderful time for both of us career-wise and personally. We were both out of the closet. And there are a lot of lesbians in the Nashville songwriting music community. My first publisher was a lesbian. That I've always had a lot of gay around me. Until him, I didn't really know. I didn't work with any gay male songwriters. And it really made me want to step out a little further because I thought, you know, I'm out and I live my life. But for him to do it felt like a bigger step. And so I chose to also step out a little further. And so people felt represented. And you know, what I really realized is that in my experience, nobody really cared. And that was, and I spent a lot of years feeling like they would. And I wish I had those years back because it was wasted time.
Well, I love that he inspired and you inspire him. I love that we have a kindred spirit in a way of inspiring each other. I love how he fled Nashville because he didn't feel like he could be gay there, and then he went back and said, "I'm taking this town by storm," and he did. Check out Songland. He's one of the songwriters on Songland right now. He's great.
Completely.
Well, I love that it goes to no matter what people feel, they can't argue with success.
That's true.
You know, it's like it's hard at the beginning, but once you rack up and once people can't deny the quality of the work, it's harder to argue with the person behind it. And sometimes the greatest thing you can say is continuing to succeed. You know?
But Gail, I want to ask you because I mean you've been doing this for half a second, and you've seen the journey of how it's changed. So how different is it representing Brandi Clark now than at the beginning when you do? How many did you know any out country singers?
You know, I started my career in LA, so just going to Nashville was a change. Being in Los Angeles, you don't feel any of that. You don't think about
right
being gay, being Jewish. And when I went to Nashville, actually, I brought Sugarland. And there was a lot of uncomfortable moments in the business. And with Brandi, I don't think of her in that way. I just think she's the greatest songwriter I've ever known. So to be able to represent her was just an honor. And I've never had that pushback. I mean, I haven't felt it, to be honest.
Well, if I were a singer 25 years ago, I would want Gail to be representing me.
I'll represent you now, Gail.
Well, because for the people, you know, Gail, I'm so glad you're here because people who do what you do often, you know, it's not the face people see about crafting and guiding artists so that they can do the work and show up at the right places and the work finds the right outlets. The one I've always been obsessed with from your long line of work is that, like, I'm going to say this way, and you're going to say that's not what happened, but you invented Vonda Shepard.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Sure.
But you were a huge part in, like, the giant exposure of what happened. You know, I encountered her through Ally McBeal, and to have a television show explode an artist and what that means as a manager navigating a brand new outlet for an artist. Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Oh, I could try. I thought you were going to say something funny when I was getting ready for a come.
No, you know, it's just our managers don't get enough credit for how much they have to do with how an artist succeeds. And that's a really interesting story.
Thank you. I mean, I think I always say this, if we didn't have artists to work with, we'd be doing, you know, selling shower curtain rings, or I would be working at a saddlery or something.
Ice cream shop.
You know, well, I did that. Yeah. Still, when I go into 31 Flavors, I ask if I can get behind the counter. they don't often let me. But, you know, I met Vonda, too long of a story to tell, but she had had a couple of records out and had a huge duet with a guy named Dan Hill called Can't We Try, which was, I don't know, 93, 94 or something. Maybe before that. So we met, we started working together, and she was friends with David Kelly and Michelle Pfeiffer, and living in New York, and I got her a gig at Billboard Live in LA, and it was opening for a guy named Dave Mason. I'm sure a lot of people don't know who that is, but he had a couple big hits. And she's like, oh God, I don't want to fly across the country to do this. And I said, you know, you never know what'll happen. Like one show, you don't know. And literally David and Michelle came to that show, and David said to me, do you have any of Vonda's new music? And of course, you know, I said, here it is. the story of Alan McBeal started from there, you know, like just, David was a big fan of Vonda's, and it changed a lot for her, for both of us. We sold 15 million records of a soundtrack on Sony, and Vonda and I started a label together, and we put out her solo stuff together. And it was I managed her for 15, 16 years, and it was a fantastic part of my life, which interestingly led to Jennifer and Sugarland. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of connected tissues, but thanks for saying that. It was really a wonderful time in my life and a great time in my career.
And it just answers your question. The incredible range of working in the business, you know, from back then when it's like you're handing CDs and visiting stations all the way up through the modern age of like, hi, I need to get my clients on a live stream because that's the only way they can make appearances while we're all stuck at home. I mean, as much as artists have to grow and change, the management team and style has to grow and change with every new medium, every new format, every new opportunity. And to do it as long as you have is amazing.
You know, I'm really fortunate that I've been able to make this my career. I will say that. And I was talking to a colleague who said, hey, can you just, she's a younger manager, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, can you just take some time and give me some tips? And I said two things. One, if you're not a fan, it's a job. Don't do it. If you wouldn't buy that person's album or go buy a ticket to see their show, don't do it. And I think that that's really what I've come to learn, where a lot of managers have a lot of clients. I've been so fortunate to work with ones that I would buy a ticket, buy their records multiple times. And that makes it not a job.
I love that. Ken, my friend Ken texted me, who goes to every concert of everybody, travels all over the place, he's seen me so many times. Ken Hartfield, I don't know if you know who he is, Brandy, if you recognize that. But he wants to know, when are you going to be on stage again? Do we know? Do you have anything? Or is
it changes every time we get an update. You know, right now, I would say we just don't know. It just depends. A lot of it, I think, depends on what happens and Gail could speak to this better than me, but kind of depends on what happens as we start reopening states.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, you have to take into consideration the fans that you don't want to get sick.
Right.
You want to expect them. I certainly, as I said to Brandy, I can't ask her to do anything that I wouldn't do. And when you travel, you're exposed to so much. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be this year. It's an everyday conversation, and it changes every day.
Well, I just hope that people discover this new album because it's been Brandy, I love it so much. There's every song, just like all your albums. I just keep listening and listening, and it's just a beautiful record. If Your Life Was a Record, right, is the name of it?
Your Life is a Record.
Your Life
yeah,
is a
you know, I mean, all we can, the great, the positive, I mean, I hate that I'm not out on the road right now, but I think the thing that helps me is everybody's in the same spot. There's no artist I know that's getting to go out on tour. We're all here. There are people, I've got fortunate enough to do a little TV before this happened. I know people that have put out albums that haven't had the benefit of that. Thank God for fans that tune into these live streams, that buy music, that spread the word, much like you did, Dale. So much of music, I think, is word of mouth. We were listening to Adele right before this, and the first time I heard about Adele was a friend. Like, oh my God, I gotta hear this girl. So, you know, thank God for that. It does, you know, when you make a record, especially one like this one I just did, it has a string and horn component. So excited to get out and share that with everybody. But I will. It's not gonna go away. It's just gonna be a little further in the future than I would have hoped.
Yeah, but y'all download all of them. 12 Stories in a Small Town. And My Life is a Record, all of them. You'll just not stop. It's wonderful, wonderful story.
Also, JD said he's working on the lyrics to The Bottom in Country Song. So he'll have that for us. So we'll debut that here on the show in the future.
I knew we could depend on somebody.
Love it.
I can feel a sing. You want her to sing?
I do.
Yes. Okay. Also, Kit said we need new merch.
Oh, you know, Kit is one of my favorite people, actually. And we have new merch that was going to be out there. Maybe we'll have to just get it out there sooner. I loved it. And it was good, high-quality cotton. More than anything, I love a good quality cotton.
Me too. I don't like that rough, hefty cotton. I like a soft one.
Gail was saying she wouldn't manage anybody that she wouldn't buy their record. I don't like to have a merch item that I wouldn't wear.
Yes.
So.
All right. Let me just really quick. That night in Dallas when it was really late at night, I get this text from McGee. I remember it so well. I remember exactly where I was sitting when I heard this song. And you had me hooked from the, like, two lines in. Brandy's. And I don't know why. It's not the first song on that. But for some reason, it was the first one that came up for me.
Oh, well, I'm glad. You know, this is my favorite song I've ever been a writer on. When you asked me to play it today, I was so happy because I don't ever do a show and not do this song. So this is for you, Dale.
Thank you.
Raven is the color of her long curly hair. Red is the dress she knows how to wear. Blue is the eyes I've ever seen. Maybe just a touch of green. Oh, she can steal most anyone's man. This would be a real good time. She walked up and said, hello, it's been a while, don't think I didn't notice. Nervous in your smile, wasn't that long ago, you were a whole lot more than friends. So this would be a real good time. Don't let this moment linger. Now would be the time to reach out with your fingers, get them tangled up in mine. Let her know for sure that I'm more than just a soft place to land. This would be a real good time to hold my hand. If I'm your future, she's your past. If it's over, our love's gonna last. Don't let this moment linger. Now would be
Reach out with your fingers, get them tangled up with mine. Let her know for sure that I'm more than just a soft place to land. This would be a real good time. This would be a real good time to hold my hand.
Oh my God, that was amazing. Live right here on our show. Thank you, Brandy. Gail, come in here.
Yeah, she's come back. She's touching herself up.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to say, the hair and makeup today was just fantastic.
I'm coming in more casual.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, some days are better than others. Today, you know, and we have a ring light.
We do.
Which that kind of helps.
I insisted.
Yeah. Well, you look great. And that was just so beautiful, Brandy. I love that song. And I, besides the fact that I wanted to celebrate the first song that I ever fell in love with you hearing, I also thought that it was very, for what we're all going through, where we all want to, we'd like to hold somebody's hand. We'd like to give somebody a hug. And we're not able to right now. So it makes me emotional saying that. But that's the other reason I chose that song for you. And I think, my daughter, Becca Shores.
Hey, Becca.
My daughters, Rebecca and Caroline, are such big fans of yours.
Well, I'm big fans of theirs. I follow them on Twitter. I love those girls.
They're quite amazing. So Caroline, I introduced Caroline in San Francisco, just tooling around the hills of San Francisco, listening to Brandy Clark. Her favorite is Hungover. So
love that.
Yeah.
No, it is true. Del mentioned it too. I have to say this. Del's style of writing dark comedy really did have a huge impact on me in the way that I see characters. And still, I mean, if I go watch Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will, I'm like, oh, I want to write that kind of richness.
Well, that means a lot. And we're going to get back to creating. We'll figure that series out. It was too good. It was so good.
Yes.
It was, we had some good stuff there. So Gail, come on.
Yes, wait. I'm over here. He's just going, I'm over here crying through this song. And Ken says, are you okay, Emerson? I am. See, look, it's proof positive that I do have a feeling. Like once a quarter, I feel something.
A feeling like that.
Well, you're also a very good actor, so I never know.
It's true. I mean, I can squeeze it out when necessary. Thank you, ladies, for being with us. It is such a joy to see, you know, such genius accompanied in such humble and hilarious and delightful spirit. You are everything we want from an artist. And I just really appreciate what you do and who you are and how you do it.
I thought you were talking about Gail, but thank you.
Well,
Gail's exactly who you want in your corner, but it's for a very different reason.
I did not miss that Gail said, you want her to sing, don't you?
A cigarette and a martini. Come on, play something for him.
All right. Well, we love you. Thank you for doing our show. We are so grateful. And we want you back on stage, and we want you booking her everywhere, Gail. So
do everything I can.
Yes. As soon as it's safe.
Yeah. And everybody go download everything Brandy Clark right now. Right
now. Yes.
Good to see both of you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
All right. Well, y'all, thank you so much for being with us. If you enjoy the show and you want to contribute, you can toss us $1 or $5 or $10 or as much as your heart feels moved to share, send it to me on Venmo. It's in the banner below, at Emerson Collins, or on PayPal to beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. Del, that made my heart so happy.
Oh, it was just such a great show for me today. You know how, you know, there's nothing that I've been more obsessed with, or no artist than Brandi Clark. And I just love her. And for her to be my friend now is so special. And Gail, I love Gail. She's been so good in our champion, our project together. So it's wonderful. It was wonderful. It was just, it was great. So I am in heaven. I can now just sign off and not be depressed for a couple of hours. Have a drink. Yes. Thank you, Emerson. And all, I just want to say one thing real quick, Emerson. I know there's a lot of people that Brandi brought to our show today. Y'all come back. We appreciate you being here today, but come back and see us, and we'll have more fun guests. I think Friday.
I feel like we need to reconfirm that, and so we'll share it on the graphic, right?
Okay. All right.
Okay. But if you want to see any of our old shows, if you were new today because of Brandi, you can see them on YouTube, on our Facebook pages. All of the previous shows are there. And we'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock Pacific with a whole new adventure.
And Michael Shane said, what Brandi Clark album do I recommend? I recommend that you start with 12 Stories and then continue on to Big Day in a Small Town, and then Your Life is a Record. So all of them are fantastic. But 12 Stories, start there and just go in order. And we'll see you on Friday. Bye.
Bye.